All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Certainly, everybody has been impacted in their life, directly or indirectly, by cancer. So coming up on Monday, September 23rd, we are going to be at the 28th Jim Maloney Golf Classic at the Huntington Valley Country Club. And you will have the opportunity right now, if you would like, by going to our website, 1210WPHT.com, to join myself and three others for a foursome of golf. And all of your donations that you put forward to partake in this great cause will benefit the American Cancer Society as part of the Coaches versus Cancer Classic, hosted by Philadelphia's Big Five men basketball coaches. If you recall, we had the great Phil Martelli on, formerly of St. Joe's, last week. Fran Dunphy will be out there. Many other basketball legends in the history of the greatness that is the Big Five. You know, Temple legends, St. Joe's, Villanova, on down the list. Our sister stations, KYW and WIP, will be there. NBC Sports Philadelphia. So there's a lot of people that you might have, you know, grown up watching and enjoying play basketball that were legends back when, you know, college basketball was actually entertaining before it's become what it's become. So if you would like to sign up and play, that would be great. We're going to have a great day of golf, eating, fighting for cancer, and perhaps, you know, a few cold ones out on the course. Just a little spoiler.
Perhaps.
And I might be bartending for you. All right. So that's that. Let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:06. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning. We are sponsored this morning in Kale and Company News Live. This warmer September morning, because it was quite cool yesterday, September 19th. But we are sponsored this morning, this Thursday, September 19th, We're sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union. A lot of financial news, so it's appropriate that we're sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union. A somber pre-dawn procession filling the streets of Philadelphia with flashing blue-red lights has fallen. Philadelphia police officer Jamie Roman has made its way down Broad Street in Philadelphia, down I-95 first, then Broad, and then coming down to the Basilica. So Officer Roman killed in the line of duty, gunned down during what started out as a routine traffic stop back in June. He fell into a coma after the shooting, after he was gunned down, and died last week. 31 years old, he would have turned 32 this weekend, and leaves behind his wife, his young 7-year-old daughter, 4-year-old son, a beautiful young family. But his body moved now to the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul this morning, where a second viewing will be held. And that is beginning in less than 1 hour. So obviously traffic in the area, in and around Philadelphia and Center City, obviously there will be some closures, especially around the Basilica, even after, let's say, after 8 o'clock this morning. So a traffic heads up as you make your way down. We also have some, sad news with Philadelphia police investigating the shooting death of a young girl. This happened last night right around sunset on the second floor hallway of a home on the 2800 block of North Bailey Street, North Philadelphia. Police say officers found the 13-year-old girl suffering from a gunshot wound to her chest. This was one of those situations where officers, because she was dying at that point, the officers just picked her up and rushed her themselves to nearby Children's Hospital. And so just a tragic situation here is the emergency department, you know, doctors and nurses could not save her life. She was shot in the chest.
And you said innocent bystander?
She was an innocent kid. She lives a few blocks away, we're told, and was with family at this home. And apparently they're looking for two boys. They're just saying they're looking for 2 to 3 boys who were running from that area.
Wow.
And tight-lipped about the rest of it. So yeah. We don't have the firearm. We don't have the details, just that they're looking for the suspects.
Just awful. Ugh. I mean, it's bad enough that somebody would potentially die if they were the intended victim, much less. And it's countless times, Dawn. It's every time. It's some. Oh, this person had nothing to do with the situation at hand. It's just, my God, it's awful.
And also for the Philadelphia police, you can't imagine the trauma of what that day on the job is like.
Oh, I know.
To scoop a 13-year-old child rusher to the hospital,
yeah,
trying to save her.
And going back to the officer in today's proceeding, you know, isn't it really awesome? And I know it's under sad circumstances, obviously, but the brotherhood that police officers have. I mean, it's one thing for, you know, cops in this area, this region, even statewide. But nationwide, I mean, it just goes to show you kind of that bond that officers have, especially in this day and age where there's such divisive rhetoric around cops.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, they're backing the blue. And I think from around the nation, it's common that you'll see law enforcement from across America. They will all come here to Philadelphia just to show that, like you're saying, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the solidarity. And in supporting this. And then, you know, it's not lost on anybody the detail that the individual accused of shooting Officer Roman was in fact somebody who had allegedly shot at police in Puerto Rico during a carjacking right after a carjacking. And so it's not lost on anybody that once again, it seems to be the scenario of somebody who slipped through the cracks or slipped through the system.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll learn more about that as we move forth. But, you know, certainly our prayers with the Roman family, the 25th District family of officers as well. Philadelphia teenager charged in connection with that alleged terrorism investigation, ties to Syria, and prosecutors say he has now turned 18, but he was 17 last summer, 13 months ago, when arrested and when SWAT surrounded his family's home. But he's identified now as Muhyiddin Abdul Rahman, and he was apparently looking into the possibility of targeting the Philadelphia Pride Parade and had a particular hate for the LGBTQ plus community. That detail was given during that news conference yesterday, but had reportedly, yeah.
I wonder if these pride supporters that stand with Palestine and Gaza and the cause against the Jews, I wonder if they're aware that this guy would like to just incinerate you.
Just curious, Dawn Senslin, real quickly, his name, Joe Smith, what was his name again?
his name, yep, is Muhyiddin, yep, Abdul Rahman.
Oh, yes, the Abdul Rahmans from 22nd and Vine.
Right. Classy family.
red MAGA hat on, I'm assuming, since he hates the LGBTQ community.
Well, I think what you're bringing up is something very interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He is, if you see him, you know, he appears to be African American or a darker skinned individual.
Yeah.
And so does not fit any narrative that anybody wanted out there. And so I think that you bring up a great point. Why is it that last summer we didn't learn the details of this teenager?
Yeah, interesting. It's
13 months.
Well, I'm sure if he wanted a better economy and a secure border, we'd know everything about him. Because that's radical.
Oh, man. Yeah, interesting.
So he's somebody, we'll learn more, but they say, prosecutors are saying that Abdul Rahman was searching online for potential targets in Philadelphia, specifically the Philly Pride Parade.
Oh, yeah.
And as well the Army-Navy game, but had a particular hatred for the LGBTQ plus community.
Guys, listen, hate has no home here, okay?
Right.
You know?
My sources are telling me he also despised Saquon Barkley's hands.
Stop.
But that's not verified yet. It's a developing story.
Yeah. You can almost damn well bet that if this guy's voting right, and I don't know the way he votes, I don't know if he can vote, but if he was some sort of MAGA guy, this would have been front page news
everywhere. Oh, man.
So Abdul Rahman charged with attempt to commit weapons of mass destruction, arson, causing or risking catastrophe, criminal conspiracy. The list goes on and on and on. And so he's in custody. held on $5 million bond. And even though he was arrested at 17, 13 months ago, he will be charged as an adult. So also, I will point out to you that these are charges. This is the Philadelphia DA's office making the charges. So the question is, will the feds, because the FBI was obviously a partner in investigating this, so how will that work?
Mm-hmm.
And will the FBI, at the end of the day, will these be federal charges? So that's another question that we have. Mayor Sherrell Parker, and this has been festering, because I had reported and we had heard all along that Mayor Parker was for this new Center City Philadelphia 76ers huge new arena, that she was reportedly for it, but the news headlines always said that she wanted to hold different, you know, fact finding sessions. She wanted to hear from the community, and this has to do with Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
They are furious, business leaders in Chinatown furious, and vowing a fight, and already saying they're mounting their legal fight. But she announced this. It's significant that she announced yesterday she would send city council bills to support the building of this proposed new arena in the Market East section of Center City. This is Chinatown, for the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, she's saying it's an amazing deal financially. This is incredible for the city of Philadelphia. Talked about the financial package. However, business leaders are pushing back on that, saying they're accusing her of wanting this all along. And she said it'll bring $1 billion in private investment from the basketball franchise, create more than 9,000 construction jobs. Think about the union vote, IBEW, that we've talked about, Teamsters vote. Think about the union jobs that something like this would create.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor's aware of that. So if approved by council, the arena would open in 2031. However, obviously, as soon as this video, it wasn't live, it was a video announcement she created. And then while they released it, she was tucked away in a meeting.
Right. Well, Democrats love to just pre-record their videos in advance and then share them. That's standard operating procedure. Hashtag sarcasm. I'm not a Philadelphia resident, obviously living in Montgomery County. Dawn, technically, you are in city limits.
I absolutely am
in city limits. Where do you think that this ranks on a city resident, their priority list of things that the mayor needs to accomplish? I don't think it's very high up on the list.
Well, look, all the taxes are going up. Property taxes just went up. So she's right in saying we've lost revenue, and so we need revenue. We've had huge population loss. Everybody who could move out moved out of the city of Philadelphia, and a lot of them just left and found other jobs, went south, et cetera, or went out way further out. And a lot of that had to do with the school shutdowns as well, I might add, because remember, we've lost tens of thousands of students, and that means funding. So I will say that we need the revenue, and I think that's what she's looking at. And so for Chinatown, the big question is, you look at that area, they're worried also culturally that'll just destroy Chinatown and the neat, you know, community and culture. But think about parking. And I was trying to find yesterday and in the days leading up to this, even the real parking plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they going to build a huge parking garage?
Yeah, they're going to have to build a garage.
But then even think about when you go to the games and what a traffic nightmare it is.
Well, you can take SEPTA.
Yeah, another priority above, you know, that should be above where the Sixers play.
Will they then make the trains not a
public bathroom?
Urine-filled hellhole.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. And they touted the fact of how many major cities have these types of stadiums. They're right in the heart of the city, which is really cool. But I will say that part of the problem is Philadelphia, just our culture, we are not, for whatever reason, we are just not, comparatively to other major cities, we don't like to take public transit.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, if you look at New York, Chicago, you know, all these other major cities, they will take public transit. That was even before all the crime on SEPTA. But now we have a real problem with crime that we've talked about. And that's why they had to have a special prosecutor that even Shapiro put in. And that was much in the face of Larry Krasner. But the SEPTA crime, they have to deal with that and convince people, if they do this, that it's safe.
Yeah, to your point, the last time I took SEPTA or any public transportation was probably right at the corner of Cecil B. Moore in 2005 when I was a junior or senior in college. Yeah.
I got to say, you know, when I went to D.C. last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was, for that conference, taking the Acela up to Washington, D.C.
Nice.
Fabulous.
Is it?
Just fabulous.
Really?
Well, the Acela is not the same as, like, wait a minute.
Well, listen.
Were you in first class?
Of course.
Corporate transportation.
What is wrong with you? Of course it was. Oh. How dare you?
Did Barrett expense that, or is that an Odyssey expense?
I mean, look, you know, I'm very important. I can't.
He's a bigoted big now.
I can't go with the plebes to.
Mr. Stocker, would you like?
I'm a capitalist. And
Cabernet?
Exactly. Acela is lovely. Gets you right there in an hour and 50. Fabulous.
Yeah. Well, the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates for the first time in 4 years. Big news. It was expected, but the cut was expected. But what we didn't know for sure was by how much. So by lowering the benchmark federal funds rate by 50 basis points to a range between 4.75% and 5%. So this was a whopper. Many expected for sure there'd be a quarter of a percent, but this is a half a percent. So decision affecting interest on credit cards, auto loans, mortgages, other financial products. You know, don't expect to see it too soon. That was my question. How soon? I'm sure I'll get a notice right now for my my Macy's card, right, or Wells Fargo. You're going to get that notice. Hey, you know that high interest rate? We're cutting that down.
Mm.
We'll see how fast that really happens.
That's a good point. I have to check my statements later.
But NerdWallet, they did a survey, and they said 61% of people they surveyed say they plan to take some financial action once interest rates for consumers do go down. And a fourth of those say they will buy a car online.
A car online. Yeah, I would suggest the Piazza Auto Group, or if you want to do it online, piazzaautogroup.com.
Yeah, well, that's where you can do your research, right?
Correct.
Piazza.
There you go.
And so that's a big one.
You guys are good troopers.
I know, right?
Thank you.
So we weave in, you know, you think of Sherelle Parker, her announcement. She is staying loyal to IBEW, to the union vote, and that's a big part of what this is with the Chinatown controversy with the Sixers Stadium. She wants to stay here. And remember, that's under pressure by Jersey, because New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy had promised that $400 million incentive package. So there was some pressure here. Speaking of IBEW, International Brother of Teamsters, declining to issue a presidential endorsement, Trump quick, especially at his rally last night in Long Island, saying that, yes, it's they're supporting me. And so they're just saying, we're just going to decline to give the presidential endorsement, first time in many decades for sure. And we've talked about the fact that here in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, that many of the Teamsters union voter, the management, the top level management said, they are endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris, but perhaps that doesn't speak for the rank and file. And yes, as we've said, Trump becoming the first president to pay in Bitcoin, really adding publicity to that Bitcoin bar that you mentioned. But he also made some other major announcements, and this was expected or anticipated, that he would get rid of that so-called SALT deduction that in truth he created back in the day. But this is huge for residents and commuters, including those from New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gone away from the typical iodized salt myself. I'm more of a pink Himalayan sea salt guy these days. It's better for you.
So I know we'll talk about that one moving forward. So much in the news, in the headlines, and a lot of financial news as well as we think about Philadelphia and beyond. But speaking of which, we're sponsored by First Harvest Credit Union. Let your savings take root and grow when you open a First Harvest Credit Union online exclusive 7-month certificate and earn 5.2% APY. Just visit harvestcu.com/online. Exclusives for all the details. Restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. Thank you, First Harvest Credit Union, for sponsoring our Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. We've got so many great stories to get to here today. From two Trump updates with the FBI. I need to defend Melania Trump's previous modeling career. And we also have a psychologist and a psychiatrist that have given their professional expertise as to why Kamala Harris adopts fake accents wherever she goes. So we're actually going to get like some clinical diagnosis.
Wow. That's amazing.
And it was in Full Throttle yesterday as she adopted another accent.
Oh boy.
So we got a lot of things to hit on. We've got the cut sheet coming up and we'll do all of it as we continue. Kale & Company back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, it's September, back in the daily grind, back in the school car line and back to work, which means you're going from place to place. Is your vehicle ready to go place to place? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to help you make sure you and your family are safe out on the roads. These service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle all your regular stuff, your regular maintenance needs, but also diagnose possible issues before they can happen. So schedule a service appointment online today. Visit them, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, for that dealer nearest you, Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, PIAZZA, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Two things I want to get done here before we get to the cut sheet. I got to defend Melania Trump, but I also want to get to the more serious updates here that we found out yesterday, two of which are on the Ryan Ruth second assassination attempt, and then going back to Thomas Matthew Crooks with a story from the Washington Times. But first, we find out yesterday that the FBI was tipped off in 2019 about the suspected Trump gunman Ryan Wesley Ruth's firearm possession. That is according to these agencies, the FBI confirming Monday that they did receive a tip in 2019 about the man who allegedly intended on shooting former President Donald Trump. In 2019, they followed a tip about the possession of the firearm. We also find out, according to the FBI, and this would be Miami Field Office FBI leader Jeffrey Veltri, provided more information regarding Ruth's extensive criminal history, confirming that he has faced charges in the past. The United States attorney mentioned the subject was charged and convicted in North Carolina for possession of a weapon of mass destruction. So the guy had a WMD. Law enforcement also checks reveal that from 1997 to 2010, this man had numerous felony charges for stolen goods. So in this day and age, yeah, he'd fit right in with big cities where everybody's just stealing everything because, you know, nobody prosecutes theft anymore in this country. And then this is the one that really concerns me. Is speaking of this individual that I just mentioned, Jeffrey B. Veltri of the Miami FBI field office. He is the agent leading the probe of the Florida assassination attempt. And according to a whistleblower, this individual, Veltri, is vocally anti-Trump. Now, the FBI has come out and they have countered saying that it has, quote, full confidence in Veltri's leadership and the whistleblower's claims are, quote, demonstrably false. But, you know, we should just trust the FBI and take them at their word, right? So they go on to say that Veltri said, quote, we view this as an extremely serious situation and we are determined to provide answers as to what led to the events that took place. However, but soon after Veltri's appearance, reports surfaced on social media outlining an FBI whistleblower's claims, which again the FBI says is not true, last year to the House Judiciary Committee, that Veltri was allegedly ordered by the FBI to delete his anti-Trump social media posts. The accusations first emerged in a Washington Times article in November. Quote, the home of President Donald Trump is located in the area of the responsibility of the Miami field office. It was well known that Veltri was adamantly and vocally anti-Trump, the whistleblower said in the disclosure that the outlet reported last year. The whistleblower alleged that the top FBI brass, including Christopher Wray and others, were involved in directing Veltri to scrub his social media accounts. whether or not this is true, but let's just operate under the assumption it is true. Because let's face it, let's be real. There's a lot of people, regardless of what their job title is, that don't like Donald Trump. Two questions for you. Would you trust this man to get to the bottom of what occurred? How a man could just randomly be in the bushes for 12 hours and know that Donald Trump was going to be at Trump International in West Palm? Keep in mind, Trump owns 17 golf courses, so I don't want to hear the, well, it's a Sunday, Trump's probably on a golf course. I mean, come on, let's sharpen our minds here a little bit, folks. And would you trust this man to protect your life? For me, the answer is no and no. And then, speaking of the Washington Times, let me just flip back here, because this all comes to the culmination of this thing stinks to high hell, and to me, it's my personal belief, inside job. So the Washington Times, going back to the Thomas Matthew Crooks story, now is reporting that a phone connected to the shooter was tracked moving between the FBI office and the shooter's location multiple times. Now, why would Thomas Matthew Crooks' cell phone be in transit from an FBI office to the Butler rally on that little piece of farm property? That doesn't make sense to me. Also, according to the Washington Times, the shooter's apartment, Crooks, was found professionally cleaned with no silverware. So was this guy like Ron DeSantis just eating pudding out of the container? Okay, that doesn't make sense to me. And also, we talked about the cremation of this individual, Crooks, and how I think it was 5 or 6 days, maybe it was 10 days, where nobody had realized that this occurred. And according to the Washington Times, there is no toxicology examination that has been released. So what is exactly in the now deceased cremated shooter's body that could have ultimately led to him acting on July 13th? I'm sorry, you start to connect these dots here. And again, you know, a lot of these little tidbits are coming out, but you don't get them on MSNBC. You don't get them on CNN. They're not going to show up in the Inquirer. The Washington Times is kind of, I would say, the New York Post to the New York Times in Washington, D.C. They are kind of the opposite of the Washington Post. You have the Washington Times and I think also the Washington Examiner. I just continue to go back to these two specific instances seem way too coincidental and hard to process and fathom that a known nut job on the FBI's radar for at least 5 years, with an extensive criminal history dating back 15, 20, 25 years, and then some random college 20-year-old dude that just climbs up onto a roof after we also found out in the last day or two that the Secret Service adamantly and repeatedly told local officials in Butler, don't worry about the roof, we got it. It's under control, it's taken care of. And of course, as we know on that day, the only person on that roof was the shooter who came in with millimeters of killing Donald Trump. Now that I've shared these new updates, does anybody else want to join Nick Kale in the club of when it smells stinky, it's probably stinky? Anybody else? Any thoughts? Any reaction? Because you can't convince me.
It smells stinky, it's probably stinky?
Yes. Okay. It just doesn't add up, folks. And I get it. Maybe the Secret Service is not cracked up to what we thought it was. Maybe the FBI is corrupt. But these two jabronis are able to get that close to Donald Trump after all the details that we are finding out from, quote, secondary alternative news sources. Don't add up, folks. It don't add up.
As far as the FBI agent that you mentioned in charge in Florida, I just think, you know, we go back to the days of Mr. Strozak, as he was called humorously, but, Peter Strzok. I don't want to know these people's politics and why do we even know? It's just not professional.
Point
of contention?
Point of contention where you have to almost like when you have to recuse yourself from a case because you're somehow connected to it, right? Like whether a judge, like this guy Veltri should not be in charge of this if in fact it is true that he was forced to scrub social media posts that are negative to Donald Trump. He's already automatically he's lost credibility, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about it at all these different levels, but I just think if you are somebody in at an upper level in law enforcement, especially federal law enforcement, just the question of what were you thinking? You know, we joke about the fact that, like Greg will say, don't go on social media or whatever. But
everything needs to be on Twitter.
But you think about somebody, you're in the FBI at the and not just a street level, maybe an agent, but this is somebody who's a biggity big in the FBI, who's mm-hmm. a higher level, higher echelon manager or investigator with the FBI. So that goes to character. And I probably wouldn't say this as strongly, but, you know, you look at the individuals, even movie stars and different people who've put on Twitter, on social media pages, Instagram, that they wish that Trump had been assassinated.
Yeah.
And so that together with this makes it all the more important that somebody, particularly if you are in law enforcement, you should right now, you should scrub your social media account.
Right.
Right? It is a conflict, if you will. So just by that, I would say, why not just choose somebody else who chooses to, in their professional life, make sure that that's separate from their private views.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And the phrase I was looking for, conflict of interest, which I couldn't find.
Why, like, there's so many things that need to be answered yet about this Ralph Ruth character. Mm-hmm. You know, how long was he in Florida for? And also, we brought this up at the beginning of the week. Like, how is this guy traveling the world?
Yeah. With a minuscule paying job.
Yeah.
Well, he makes $3,000 a month.
Oh, yes, that's right.
That I did, shared yeah, that yesterday, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to Ukraine. He's right. He lives in Hawaii. He's flying from Hawaii to Florida. He's flying from Hawaii to here, there, the other. Like, he's like a world traveler.
Yeah. He's living like a king.
On $3,000 a month.
Yeah, basically minimum wage. I mean, come on, really? Seriously?
So, I think, you know, his bank accounts need to be looked at. Yep. I think, you
oh,
know,
no doubt they're looking into all of that.
I'm sure they are, but do you think that we'll get...
No.
Answers.
No,
yeah, at some point we will. You know when we'll get it is when all the property records, financial records.
November 6th.
yeah. Or God forbid after Trump is killed. Yeah.
He's scheduled for two. I reported it at the time. There are two court appearances that are set up as they process him.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming up. One is later at the end of this month and then the following week.
Yeah.
So as he's processed, that's when you learn from the court records because the prosecutors have to come in and say, Your Honor, and they give the whole long list. And if he has all these suspicious, crazy bank accounts all over the world, they can say what a flight risk he is, etc.
Mm-hmm. 855-839-1210. We will save the Melania Trump segment for the 9 o'clock hour because up next, we find out what Stocker has lined up on Thursday edition.
Oh, do I have anything?
What's on the cut sheet?
I don't know if I have anything.
I think you do.
No, I don't think I prepared for the segment.
We're back after this. Stay right there.
Wait, hang on. I'm sorry, Don. You have the kitchen magic here. I should have told you.
Okay, yes, because we need the magic in your kitchen, right? Kitchen Magic, they've been around. They're local employer, and they do an incredible job. As you think about heading into the fall, maybe the fall holidays, entertaining, you really want to think about my friends at Kitchen Magic. And when it comes to your kitchen, you know how you are sometimes? You're like, get out of my kitchen. Trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and care. From custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, all the storage solutions, they get the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have trusted for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation, kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Donald J. Trump, in honor of Stocker, our own Linda Kearns, protectthevote.com, Trump made a little reference. I think it was a secret reference to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and Stocker. Listen in. Phil Omquist.
Oh, wait, hang on.
Dawn's queuing up her own cuts here. I love this.
I'm hijacking.
God knows we've hijacked her news way too many times.
No, never.
Now let's go. What do we got, Phil?
Phil Omquist. Let's hear what Trump had to say. I think it was a subliminal message for our own Greg Stocker, Linda Kearns, protectthevote.com.
Oh, boy.
Play it. Where's Phil?
I don't know.
Bill Almquist.
Dalton was in the back setting it up, and we still don't get it right.
He said, just cue it up.
Say, baby, who can draw crowds? Nobody can draw crowds like me. Nobody, not even close. I'm the greatest of all time, maybe greater even than Elvis, because Elvis had a guitar. Yeah, I don't have a guitar.
That's true.
Elvis had a guitar.
I will say
this. I have the privilege of a guitar.
Trump definitely better than Elvis. I will definitely say that.
All right.
All
right, that's good. There you go.
Sorry, I don't know if that was worth it.
No, it was. It was. I saw you back there grinding. Dawn's like, oh, we got an idea here. I want to do this. But see, now, Phil, you got to deliver with the smooth delivery of it so you don't leave my gal out to dry here.
Well, he probably didn't think I was going to hijack. He thought I would, weave in after Greg did a few cuts.
Well, Phil's got
my
other,
fault.
But Phil's got other priorities. The Jets play tonight.
By the way, he's going to MetLife Stadium tonight.
He travels more than Ryan Ruth.
Bro, you better be here at 4:45 tomorrow. That's all I'm saying. I know he will. by the way, since this is still the cut sheet, there's a major concert announcement that he will announce at 9:50 this morning as part of his Today Music History.
All right. So, looking forward to that.
Lots of big announcements. 8:30, 9:50.
Yeah, appointment listening every hour. Yeah. Soccer, what's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back to school savings on a 36-month lease of a C40 for $369 per month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees. Do it at inception. Except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Did you hear that? No taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. It's amazing. Visit Cherry Hill Volvo today. Cherry Hill Volvo. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Starting here with Cut 24, Phil. This is, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you guys saw this. That's the Wilkes-Barre area. Yeah. They have banned all mail-in ballot drop boxes from the county over concerns that they facilitate voter fraud.
Okay.
Here is the news report on that. Cut 24, Philip. Go.
Concerns again at the drop box.
A Luzerne County election official reported someone trying to drop off multiple ballots. Williams says a woman tried to put 4 mail-in ballots in the drop box at Penn Place while Director of Elections Michael Susick and another employee were emptying it. Susick, who reported the incident, says he explained that she could only drop off her own ballot unless she had the signed affidavit to drop off one other person's if they are unable. One other person's. She didn't have it, and she said she didn't have time to go to the election office to get one. Susick reported the woman started to walk away but turned around, threw all 4 into the bag, and immediately left. Susick was able to separate the 4 ballots, which are being held in a secure location.
Okay. And obviously, if you're watching on YouTube there, you saw the surveillance camera up top. So they have her identity certainly captured in the event they did not, were not able to find out who she is. But this is exactly what Republicans are talking about. Again, she could very well have had 4 legit ballots for whatever reason. I don't know. Her mom's in a wheelchair, can't go, whatever. But like, this is where the speculation and the suspicion arises from, right? Why are we having 4 in one location? And I get it, you know, people work and this, that, and the other thing, but I've always come back to this conclusion. If voting matters to you, you should be all for same-day voting, identification, not offended by people asking for it. And I even get pushback from some Republicans on this that say, well, no, Nick, not everybody gets off of work at 10 a.m. I get it. I have a lot more time in my day than you might. But if voting matters to you, I think you can make the time to do it.
Certainly the most time out of anybody on the show.
Well, I take a nap.
But. Right, right, Dawn?
This is what I would say about that, though. The same people, and we think about the rules. And so what the Democrats in Harrisburg have criticized, you know, all the rules. And they said, well, you know, this is a matter of convenience. And, you know, somebody, they're going to take their neighbors. And that's all of this. You're being ridiculous. Those same people are the people who would watch, let's say, an Eagles game and say, oh, let's watch the replay and let's watch what the ref did. And, oh, is the foot on the line? Oh, let's see the different angle. So rules matter.
Yes.
Right? And rules or laws. And so I would just say, oh, well, maybe Saquon, you know, maybe they should just give him a second chance. Not for nothing. He kind of caught it. It was almost in his hands. We should count that catch. And so when we talk about the rules, they matter.
Yep.
We cheer for them. They're in our everyday lives. And so on this issue, just think about how the media reports on this in the so-called mainstream, you know, biased, inauthentic media so often. But this is a big deal. The rules matter.
Yes. And you said the word convenience, right? You know what I want? I want integrity over convenience. Convenience, let's save that for drive-thrus, okay? Give me integrity. I don't care about your stinking convenience. I want to know that my vote matters, my vote counts, and everything is on the up and up. And if I lose, then so be it. But I can at least know that, okay, it was all, you know, even Steven, and, you know, Republicans lost. I don't want to have that doubt.
I think of all of the receipts you get for everything, and I saw somebody put out, you know, why not just put serial numbers like we have on dollar bills, on our bills, or our money? You think of everything you get, a concert ticket. I mean, there are ways that you can track everything in the nation and make sure of it, right? Think about when you go to a concert and then you bought what you thought was a cheap ticket, but you got scammed and it's not authentic. And that's happened to us before. Even there are sites that are crazy out there. But they have all of this technology to make sure that your ticket to a concert or your ticket to a game, that it's authentic. But we can't do that to make every single ballot unique.
Don't you think we should receive like an email or a text on our phone that says, this is your official receipt, your vote has been processed and registered? Because to your point, as soon as I pay my Verizon bill, I get an email, here's your confirmation number.
If you do mail-in ballots, they do send you an email.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never done mail-in ballots, even though I advocate for them.
Yeah, I was just going to say you should. It's very convenient.
Yeah.
Retired General Steven Anderson was on MSNBC yesterday. He says that, I don't know how he said this with a straight face, that Vladimir Putin, will be intimidated by Kamala Harris because, quote, she's a black woman who is the product of a mixed marriage.
So Putin's taking identity politics into play here?
What?
Can you play cut 25, Phil?
Kamala Harris would be just the opposite. Why? Because she's an inspiration. Not only is she positive, does she bring hope and optimism, but as a black woman, the product of a mixed marriage, she will inspire millions of people throughout the world. Our credibility as a nation, you know, that we would be able to allow, our country is so great that we're allowed a woman like that to become the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States. That is going to send a powerful message all over the world. People like Vladimir Putin are going to say, hey, wait a minute. These guys, you know, they truly have a democratic country. They truly are representative. They truly are fighting for all their people. And Kamala Harris is a manifestation of that.
That's a former military guy?
Wow.
Oh, man.
Explains why we can't hit our recruiting goals. Good Lord Almighty. So let's just start with the credibility aspect first. So you think because Kamala Harris married a white man that she has more credibility to be president? That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, that she is. That her parents, because her mom was from India, her dad, is who's alive still, is from Jamaica.
Yeah, much like I don't care about convenience, I want integrity with my elections. I don't care about credibility. I'm looking for competence in this position. That should be the number one prerequisite for this job. But, I mean, do you think Putin or Xi or any of these madmen out there across the globe give a rip about the identity politics of Kamala Harris? No, like, my God, Putin has basically endorsed her. They don't want Trump back in there. Yeah, isn't it funny how they're trying to spin as to who Putin would prefer the president of the United States to be?
Plus, this makes no sense, and that's just absurd because been there, done that. I mean, former President Barack Obama, his mom was a white woman, his dad an African-American scientist from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's up with that? As if this is a first or a novelty, it's really not.
Yep, I agree.
Hillary Clinton, but is she, like, promoting something? Does she have a book or something? Why is she on? Like,
yeah,
I just saw
the book's out October 8th, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it.
she was on with, I think she was on with Kara Swisher here, the podcast. She said it's a double standard to ask Kamala Harris about her policies. Cut 12, Phil.
She does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, She's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She right. referenced policies. Mm-hmm. She actually doesn't just have policies and concepts. She has, you know, plans about what to do. I think it's a, you know, it's a double standard. And it's a double standard that is partly because they are still getting to know her, but also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander-in-chief?
Okay, double standard. So let's think about this for a second. So when Spike Eskin left this market to go to New York to program the big sports station, and Greg Stocker became the brand manager, Greg Stocker sat down with David Yadgaroff and all the bosses, and they said, Gregory, what is your vision? What are your policies going to be as the brand manager? And Stocker, in typical Stocker fashion, he stood up, he shouted at the top of his lungs, and he pointed at the suits, and he said, that's a double standard! Don't ask me that. It's on the website, GregStockerSucks.com.
Thank you very much.
So, I mean, they didn't put policy on their website until the day of the debate, which was, you know, at this point now, I don't know, is it 2 weeks ago, 10 days? I don't even remember, a week ago, whatever it was. And there was four little sections. And when she has spoken about policy, especially the economic policies, that are either plagiarized copy and paste jobs of tax credits for children and families, or taxing of tips, which Trump brought out first, or they've been shredded even by those in the mainstream media as being failed communist policies. But Hillary's telling us, oh my God, like, such a double standard. But if you really want to know about her policy, like, as if policy is like the 12th most important thing. Like, we're asking about her sex life or something. Nope. Well, if you really want to know, it's on the website.
Boy.
No, like, I'm sorry, you're running for president. Your policy matters. I'm sorry to inconvenience you. What world are we living in?
You went right to the sex life, huh?
Oh.
Nancy Pelosi was asked yesterday about, because, you know, we do this, you know, Kamala Harris was basically installed, right?
Yeah.
As the nominee. And asked about the primary and how there was no primary, in an open primary for the Joe Biden seat when he was pushed out by said Nancy Pelosi. But she says that actually there was an open primary and Kamala Harris won. Did we miss something?
Well, I guess we did.
My nap was really long that day, apparently.
Cut 15, Phil, if you will, go.
You had reportedly said you wanted a sort of an open primary if Joe Biden stepped down. Did you change your mind because you saw all the excitement around Kamala Harris?
No, I didn't change my mind. We had an open primary and she won it. Nobody else got in the race because she was politically astute.
Wow.
But that was the thought. Let's show our talent. We have a great bench, all these great people in the country. And she could, the president endorsed her. And that's a big deal because Joe Biden is the most consequential president of modern times. He accomplished so much more. I mean, even Barack Obama in his 8 years in service would admit that in the short period of time that Joe Biden had the majority, which was 2 years.
All right, so
let's ask Barack.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nobody else got in because Nancy Pelosi and everyone is like, if anybody else gets in, you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. Tell Kennedy that there was an open primary. He had to run as an independent. They wouldn't. And then on top of it, Joe gets 95% of the primary initially, 95% of the vote. They subvert democracy because they saw that he was dead man walking after June 27th. I mean, Kamala Harris is so bad that they wanted to replace her on the ticket as the running mate as vice president. Now she's installed and she's Mother Teresa and she represents joy, hope, and change. And the sad part is people out there that don't consume this stuff sit there and they hear Nancy Pelosi and they just take it as fact.
Yep.
That's the scary part, the uninformed person out there.
And the fact that the media lets her get away with saying that.
Right,
Pelosi,
where's the fact check, right?
That's ridiculous.
That was a media event. That was put on by Semaphore.
Yeah. That's a sin.
We've done the cut sheet, you know, for as long as, you know, Nancy Pelosi's been alive. But that might be the most three mind-numbing clips to start the cut sheet.
Sorry, guys.
No, I'm not saying it's a bad, but like, I mean, I can't believe that that's real life.
I know.
Those three clips are not, those are not deep fakes, as Gavin Newsom would say.
That is true. They are not, in fact, deep fakes. All right. I'm going on to cut 16 here, Phil. I'm kind of just going all over the place because I have a ton of stuff to get to before our big announcement at 8:30 this morning. coming. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We talked a lot about the Teamsters, the National Teamsters organization, not endorsing a presidential candidate this election cycle, the first since 1996 when they didn't endorse Bill Clinton because of, I think it was NAFTA at the time. Didn't seem to hurt Bill Clinton in the 1996 election, but okay. Sean O'Brien was on with Caitlin Collins last night discussing this. Cut 16, Phil, go.
You know, this is the first time the Teamsters have not endorsed a presidential candidate since 1996. Do you see this as a blow to Vice President Harris?
Not really. Look, it's not a Trump endorsement. And, you know, look, we've done polling and, you know, working class people, union or not, and especially in our union, and I know the other unions mirror the same numbers, going back to 2008 and forward, I mean, it's literally been an average of 65% vote Democrat, 30 to 32% vote Republican. That's pretty consistent all across the board. And even though, you know, I'm not going to get into their leadership and their decision making, but I mean, it was pretty apparent today when the Michigan Teamsters Joint Council, 245,000 retired and active members, endorsed Kamala Harris. You know, the Joint Council 42 that includes Nevada, 300,000 members, endorsed Kamala Harris and Walz. And you know, Local 237 in New York, which is their biggest local, also endorsed Harris-Walz team. So, you know, I don't read into that too much. I mean, I believe their union, just like our union and most other unions I know of in this country, are going to vote heavily for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Yeah, we haven't heard from the Pennsylvania faction of it all, though. And, of course, you know, overall, if you're sitting at home wondering about this, Teamsters, they have 1.3 million members. A lot of them are in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And they do have a lot of credibility with truck drivers, freight haulers, so those rail workers. I mean, you know that better than anyone. So you're right that it's not an endorsement of Donald Trump. But without them out there knocking on doors, that kind of muscle power that they have, do you think it could hurt her race?
I don't think so, because I mean, I believe locals that have endorsed them are going to do the work. They're going to be boots on the ground, and that's where the troops are. You know, I look at the same with us. Like, we had a weekend of action last weekend all over the country in UAW locals and our regions. So you know, we plan on doing that throughout the entire every weekend and throughout the weeks. You know, throughout this entire election process. So. I believe the boots will be on the ground regardless because, you know, it's a clear-cut choice of who stands with working-class people and who doesn't. You know, I mean, Donald Trump wants to fire striking workers, and Kamala Harris stands out there with striking workers on the picket line. It's a really clear choice, you know, of who's with us and who's against us.
Well,
yet it seems like the working class clearly is more able to resonate with Donald Trump. And, oh, by the way, the working class profited and benefited much more during the Trump administration than this administration. We gave you the numbers earlier in the show when we talked about it, 58% and 60% respectively in a straw poll and a phone poll amongst Teamster members of the union preferring Donald Trump over Kamala Harris, which was not the case when Biden was in office, where it was Biden 44% to Trump's 35% to me. And I'll reiterate it. I said earlier today, they can't endorse Harris, so they won't endorse Trump. Now, the Harris campaign is saying that they figured and they were kind of the belief they were not going to get this endorsement. But I do think it's kind of a de facto win for Donald Trump, even though he didn't get it.
So Donald Trump feels that way, too. He was asked about this when he was at the Bitcoin bar yesterday by a reporter. Phil, this is cut 9. If you want to roll cut 9, please.
Mr. President, any reaction to the Teamsters' decision not to endorse?
No, they were. It's a great honor. They're not going to endorse the Democrats. That's a big thing. And this is the first time in, I guess, 50, 60 years that that's happened. Democrats automatically have the Teamsters. They took a vote, and I guess I was at 60% or more. And that's a great honor. I mean, it's really, I've had a lot of Teamsters work for me, a lot of the concrete trucks that built all these buildings that you see in New York City, the Teamsters, exclusively Teamsters, I have to say. They've done a great job. But the vote of the Teamsters themselves was very high for me, and the leadership, Sean O'Brien and the group, who are great people, they said, we can't endorse the Democrats. So I think this is the first time in many decades that they haven't endorsed Democrats.
Don, do you think it's a de facto win for Trump, even though he officially didn't get the endorsement? Because Kamala didn't either, so it's kind of like, hey, they didn't want to ride with somebody they typically would ride with on that political side?
Well, remember, it's kind of as, you know, they were at the DNC and, oh, we're, you know, endorsing Kamala. So I think there's a little bit of egg on the face, if you will. So I think that they're getting away with this and kind of trying to play both sides by saying, well, we're just going to leave this as is. But mm-hmm. the fact that the Teamsters, the managers, right, yep. they decided to earlier release that poll that you referred to earlier, Nick, and that Trump just referred to in that piece. The fact that they released the poll earlier, that says it all, doesn't it?
It does.
Because they could have.
Yes.
Because why did they release that poll?
Yep.
Why earlier in the day? So when I saw that, I was like, ruh-roh.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So that's their way of saying, meh.
Yep.
We support him, but we're not going to make it official. So we're just going to try to walk this one on both sides of the fence.
Speaking of polls, I just want to pass this along. The latest Gallup poll for favorability ratings is out with a shift from August. Trump had a 5-point swing in the positive direction. He's up to 46%. You can see it here on YouTube. Great job, Phil, by the way. I didn't even ask for this. Kamala Harris, a 3-point dip down to 44%. But what I think is interesting to note here is amongst independents, they're both a net negative. But Trump is doing better with the independents than Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is a negative 25 amongst independents, and we know that that is a group of people that could very well determine the election.
It's interesting. If you look at the Philadelphia Inquirer, the digital version, they say that Kamala Harris has a narrow lead over Trump in Pennsylvania's presidential race.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Inquirer, New York Times, Siena College poll.
Yep.
But then they incorporate, the funny thing is that I thought, well, so that poll that I referred to, 50.6% for Kamala and 46.9% for Trump, it's a 3+, you know, margin either way, so it's a virtual tie.
Sure.
But they have this other section where they talk about Trump and Taylor Swift have similar fans or popularity. And they're going with the Taylor Swift, Trump. I think I just found that interesting to say.
Similar fans.
Yeah, but then they say that they say that Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania is more popular than Taylor Swift.
What?
Governor Shapiro. That's
really?
A headline.
Sheesh.
Wow. It's like, what?
I would
never would have thought that.
I mean,
I know people like
that's
them.
That's their headline.
I would throw a flag on that play.
You're going to challenge that one?
I would challenge that one.
All right.
Also, when was announced yesterday that the Fed cut the interest rate by a half a point. Trump was also asked about that in the Bitcoin bar. He says it shows the economy is very bad to cut it that much. Cut 8, Phil. Go.
Thank you, everybody.
Sir, what's your reaction to the Fed cutting interest rates today?
I guess it shows the economy is very bad to cut it by that much. Assuming they're not just playing politics, the economy would be very bad, or they're playing politics, one or the other. But it was a big cut.
Mr. President, any reaction?
You know, there's a lot of reaction to that yesterday, Dawn. I know you talk about the Fed a lot, and I think a lot of people are sitting here and looking at the calendar, looking at the timing of it, and looking at it from a partisan lens, which I certainly have no problem if you do. I'm skeptical of it as well.
I mean, Jerome Powell was appointed by Trump.
That's true. And I was going to say the interest, inflation rates have gone down from, if you believe it, from 2.9 to 2.5. You know, it's still above where Trump had it. I think Trump had it as low as 1.45. Trump actually, I think he said in the past, it's actually too good. You don't want it to be that low. You want it to be closer to 1.8 or 2.0. I just don't know if people are going to take that and all of a sudden change their vibe and the mood on the economy with 46 days to go when it pertains to an election. Now, look, if, you know, we get our credit card statements and our mortgage things and everything else and those rates start to go down, I don't think anybody's going to complain, but it feels like a little bit of a bailout.
Your credit card won't go down. I mean, the
well, eventually it will.
Well, I mean, it will. I mean, the interest rate for most credit cards is like 21%. It might go down to 20%.
But if they've gone to some cards, have gone to 30%. And that's why Trump at the rally last night, he said he would push for credit cards to have 10%.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, it is ridiculous.
Push Congress.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Philadelphia Inquirer, New York Times, that Siena poll that I talked about.
Yeah.
These are Pennsylvania voters, according to this specific poll, that all voters that they polled think Harris, 48% too liberal. Self-identified independents, this is to your point, Harris, too liberal, 53%. And then And that, you know, when you think about comparatively, they still think 62% thought she's too liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at these numbers, and then they kind of bury down, I think, one of the headlines, and that is Trump still retains the edge on the economy. So even this month, 51% of polled Pennsylvanians believe 51% think that Trump is better with the economy.
Only
51%. 51%. That she's narrowed it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
In May, it was 54%.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, that's part of her redefining of mm-hmm. herself. You know what I mean? She's kind of, taken the Hubert Humphrey approach from 1968, where he kind of had to separate himself from Lyndon Johnson by saying, look, I'm just the vice president. We don't make policies here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She hasn't said that, but she's kind of inferring that, right?
Yeah, but when Hubert Humphrey didn't have the media like this, I mean, he didn't have social media. And this, to me, some of these poll numbers even show you that what has changed is the media. And that's why the biased media, they are complicit. And then social media supersizing it.
Trump stopped by the Greg Gutfeld program last night.
I heard it was a hoot.
Awesome. Stopped by. They taped that, obviously, at like 5 o'clock. It aired last night at, I think, 10? I don't know, 11? Yep. I don't know when that show's on. Asking him a lot of questions. And I think this is the first time that he's been asked about the Howard Stern thing. You talked about this, Nick, the other day, about Howard Stern saying that he doesn't hate Trump, he hates Trump voters, right?
Uh-huh.
And they played the clip. That's how this clip is going to start. They played the clip and asked, and also a clip of Puff Daddy or P. Diddy, whatever you call him, too, and talk about how, you know, Hollywood is going woke and all that stuff. And Trump commented on that. This is cut 18, Phil. Go.
Hate the people who vote for him. I think they're stupid. I don't think I do. I'll be honest with you. I have no respect for you.
If you could be president, do you ever think about anything like that?
No.
Really? Never?
No.
Why?
I wouldn't make a good president.
You don't think you'd be good?
I wouldn't really pass any of the things that you have to pass to, but I guess Trump did it.
Yeah, no.
you would be a Boy Scout like a
man. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that didn't age well for either of them.
Whoops.
So, Mr. Trump, the thing that I think there's my theory is that famous people don't like it when their fame is put in proper perspective, when it's dwarfed by somebody with more fame. So they prefer to be on the hierarchy of fame. They want to be on top. I notice a lot of these guys, it's an emotional response to the fact that you're bigger, more well-known. Does that make sense?
Well, I know some of them. And like Howard, I was on Howard Stern's show as much as anybody. And
yeah,
he was great at that time. And then he went woke.
Yeah.
And since he's gone woke, his ratings have gone down the tubes. And he sort of went anti-Trump for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. But I was on his show a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, he has a best of. Did you ever see the best of Howard Stern? I don't want to promote it necessarily, but and I was there for just about all of them, the best of. We had good shows. He was good, but he's changed, and, you know, he doesn't do the ratings anymore.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to. He's almost finished. Kat, do you remember Howard Stern?
No, but you've been on every show. I mean, you've been on TV a lot.
A lot of shows.
I mean, would you rule out?
No, sorry.
Done?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my thing is it's amazing to me when I think about Donald Trump going back to being a kid at 8 years old. It's 1992. And I see him make a small little cameo in Home Alone. And then as I'm in high school and in college, I wasn't watching Saturday Night Live because I had a life and I would do things in college. I wasn't staying up in my apartment at 11:29 and putting on Channel 10. But I would go back and I'd watch like the old DVDs of the best of SNL from the 90s and the 80s. And you'd see Donald Trump making all these cameos. Obviously, he was on Howard Stern. So my point being is all of the mainstream media, all of the icons of entertainment and talk and things like that, they all couldn't help but slobber over themselves to get Trump on their show. And then the moment he puts an R in front of his name, he's the devil reincarnated.
Yes.
Yep. And Don, I know you've talked about that. It just goes to show you how fraudulent these Hollywood elites are.
Yeah, and what burns me up is you think about the Mika show with Mr. and Mrs. Brzezinski and on MSNBC, Morning Joe, and how they used to just suck up to Trump and stayed on his dime at Mar-a-Lago. They were BFFs, and now all of a sudden it's the opposite. It just shows you they're just such snakes.
And it's amazing, too, is I saw it got recirculated again yesterday on social media. It was the clip that Greg played 2 or 3 weeks ago of Bill Clinton talking about illegal immigration. You had Newt Gingrich and Al Gore in the background, and he's using terms like illegal alien. And we said, close your eyes. It sounds like Trump. So, really, Donald Trump, in some facets, is no different than a moderate Democrat like Bill Clinton was 30 years ago. Yet, if you told Howard Stern or Diddy or any of these people like that, like he's not really radical. He's not super, super far right. And you showed that clip. Like, I don't know what they would be able to say in reply as their rebuttal to you. But yet, because they just read the headlines and the out-of-context clips, he's vilified like, you know, he's Hitler.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that Bill Clinton was, his feet were held to the fire by Newt Gingrich, a Republican House contract with America. Trump differs so much to me personally because he's that private business person. He's pushing, even now, even in his rally last night, he's saying he's going to get rid of SALT. He's going to have no taxes on tips, things like tips, OT, Social Security. So he's the one pushing for these plans and thinking outside the box as far as pushing Congress then to come up with the policies. It was the opposite with Clinton. Clinton, they were working with him, but they were coming up with what they wanted in those bipartisan kind of deals. So I would say that was a that motivation was coming from a different place. The only other thing I'll say, just back to the Gutfeld show, what Kat, a question that she was asking about The Apprentice was significant to me because in that, Trump revealed that Mark Burnett of NBC and the NBC Biggity Bigs were offering him a 5-year deal. I had heard that before, but he confirmed that last night. And so it shows you just, you know, with NBC, how popular that show The Apprentice was. Mm-hmm. And that when people say, well, oh, Trump, he's horrible, he's Hitler, then sue NBC. Go back to your woke friends at NBC because he was hugely successful in that show. They had the contract, 5-year deal.
Yeah.
So go back to NBC and sue them if you blame NBC he reigned the airways on NBC. It was, I think he said last night, it was technically 12 seasons, but they were airing the reruns for mm-hmm. years yep. after that.
You're right.
6 minutes away from our big announcement.
Uh-oh.
We'll be doing that in just 6 minutes or so. But before that, Dawn mentioned Trump's rally was at Long Island last night, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Just a clip from that last night. This is hilarious. Talking about Harry. cut 23, Phil. Go.
We can do all of this and more, but patriotic New Yorkers must get your asses out to vote. Get up, Harry. Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch. You're going to vote for Trump today, Harry. Get up, Harry. Come on, let's go.
That's amazing.
Let's go, Harry.
That's also me on the golf course when I say, hey, Harry, get your fat ass out of the cart. We got a couple of putts to sink. Let's go, Harry. I don't know who Harry in New York is, but you better get out and vote, dude.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He was, ever since the first assassination attempt, he was more subdued.
Yeah.
Last night, I will say, is the first time I think he was back.
Yep.
Just his, I don't know, his energy, his comfortability, even the moments when he talked about Melania and he likes to be respectful in public and your first lady, but he slipped a little bit and said, oh, baby, he's got, you know what I mean? So he just was more relaxed, higher energy and back to himself. And I think it took a while because imagine 2 attempts. Like on your life, you know what I mean?
I think New York energizes him in general,
true.
Right? As somebody that's from there, as somebody that's built a lot of buildings, you know, you go to a Bitcoin bar, you're giving out burgers, you're doing Gutfeld, you're on Long Island. There's something about New York that I think you get the best of Trump.
Well, I mean, he did say he was going to win New York.
No, that's not
cut 21, Phil. Go.
With your vote, we are going to rescue our country. We are going to rescue our Democrat-run states. We are going to start by saving the great state of New York. Is that good?
Can you imagine?
Told some people in Washington, yeah, I'm going up to New York. We're doing a campaign speech. They said, what do you mean, New York? You can't ever. Nobody can win. Republicans can't win. I said, I can win New York, and we can win New York. We're going to win New York.
So forgetting about New York for a second, or strategy-wise, you know, parking your keister in Pennsylvania and making that the number one priority, I do think it does say something about him that he goes to areas that he likely will not win to show you that he's, you know, the whole forgotten man concept. I do think that you take that cliche or that phrase and apply it to, well, why is he going to Chicago? Why is he going to Detroit? Why is he in Atlanta? Why is he in New York? You know, I think that factors in. And then just also this whole concept of winning New York. Okay, let's say he doesn't win New York, right, which is in all likelihood the possibility that he will not. But if he ends up losing by 7 or 8 points, what that I think that should the translation should be, well, then why can't he win Virginia? Why can't he win some of these other spots that lean blue or have already been given to Harris by a small margin? Because I would argue that if you look at Virginia, which, by the way, could change a lot of these electoral college, you know, computations, if he finds a way to win Virginia, they have a red governor. Glenn Youngkin is a Republican, right? It's the same thing, but on the flip side in Kentucky, red state with a blue governor. So if he can lose New York by 7 points, then winning Virginia should absolutely be something that's plausible in people's minds.
To your point, I mean, he and another announcement he made at yesterday's rally was that he will travel to Springfield, Ohio.
Yes. Yep. I saw
the focal point of a lot of news coverage we've talked about, and it's the place where they have the migrants from Haiti situation. But he says he vowed that he's going to go there within the next couple of weeks.
Okay. We shall see. 855-839-1210. We are exactly 60 seconds out. We're going to take what they like to call a quick timeout in the industry. And then we will come back. Major station announcement here on Kale and Company. What could it be? What impact will it have on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT? Was that Stocker's last cut sheet? Find out next.
This year, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you a chance to win big every Thursday night with FanDuel Squares. It's the same Super Bowl squares you've always known, only way better. You know them. It's the office pool. It's just way better than the office pool. That's because your numbers aren't just randomly assigned. You get to pick them yourself. You can pick as many as you like. You get to see the odds beforehand, and you can put them live. You can bet them live during the game. So all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg to sign up. FanDuel.com/Greg right now to sign up and bet on squares. Plus, if you're new to FanDuel, you can get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
You were a cab driver back in the day, and your services were in high demand, I'm sure. So in the 90s, did you have two pagers? Did you have three? Were you a Motorola? Did you have that little clip chain to hook it into your belt? Well, give me some pager talk here, Jimmy.
No, old school communication in the 90s is they didn't use digital devices. They just slapped you in the head. They're like, hey, 39th Street. You know what I mean? Which explains why I'm paying to get beat up on Craigslist to this day. I have a TV show, but I keep it on Craigslist now that Diddy went away. I can't party the way we used to. Hi, kid.
Freak off. Were you in one of the freak offs, Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy. Tell us.
I was not, but I'm not kidding. I met Diddy. Diddy had a restaurant not far from Fox. It was called Justin's. And he used to walk around with a bottle of champagne in his hand and like a maitre d' at a restaurant, which is a little weird. You know what I'm saying? If the guy who's the proprietor is drinking straight out of the bottle, it makes you wonder if the Board of Health has some reservations. Is barehanding spaghetti. How's everything tonight? Good.
You mentioned New York City. I got to get your thoughts on this because we were just talking about this in our cut sheet last segment. You know, Trump was in New York yesterday. He was
Wait
on
a second.
Fox.
Wait a second, guys. Wait a second.
What?
Didn't we promise?
Oh, the major announcement.
8:30. Wait.
Yeah, I think people are just going to have to hang through. We got some business to handle.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure for the people because I thought there was a big announcement.
Look,
Jimmy Fallon calls in, you put the big announcement on hold.
On hold.
Right?
Okay.
You stick that on the back burner like the media puts a Trump assassination attempt. You just stick that on the back burner and get back to joy, hope, and change. Yeah. But we were just talking, Jimmy, about how Trump being in New York, he does the Gutfeld show. He's at Fox. He's in Long Island. He's showing up at Bitcoin bars. And I said to Dawn, there's something about New York that I think brings out the best of him. Have you ever seen it as somebody in New York being around Trump where there's just a different almost demeanor and personality to him compared to everywhere else that he travels?
I mean, the big thing is it's home. I mean, it's where he's from. The Donald Trump that became a part of the fabric of mainstream society in the 80s and 90s, the guy that was in Home Alone, the guy that was hosting Saturday Night Live, the guy that hosted The Apprentice, as you guys mentioned, he did all of that in New York. So that's really what it is. It's a home game.
Yeah.
And he was revered in New York until he went into politics. So it was surreal yesterday to see him taking kind of a New York victory lap because he has a lot more public support now than he did 4 years ago and even 8 years ago. And last night's Gutfeld, I mean, the idea that you get to see a hilarious person sit down with Greg Gutfeld, I mean, that was something.
only funny people when you're there, right?
That's right,
right, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, no, listen, I don't begrudge the comedy dwarf because I wouldn't have a TV show if he wasn't so successful. You know, like me and him talk a lot of smack about each other.
Yeah.
Jimmy, your clothes. I'm like, sorry, we can't all afford to shop the Peter Dinklage collection, Greg.
Ouch. Wow. I thought Jesse Waters against Gutfeld was set for WrestleMania. Now we're going to have to make it a triple threat, install Jimmy Fallon to the match as well. Whoa.
No, they're my buddies, but no. Those two are club fighters. Okay. Yeah. Like, do you remember Rocky Spider Rico?
Yeah.
Okay. In the annals of comedy, they're both Spider Rico. Let's get real. I mean, to be clear, I'm not Rocky. I'm Paulie, if you've seen my
family. No, no, perfect fit.
I'm not claiming Rocky status here. I'm Paulie.
One last one for you. You mentioned, you know, Trump with the Hollywood elites and the celebrities. I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Howard Stern. This is a guy who just recently, I think it was on Monday, on a show that nobody listens to anymore, on a platform that nobody has, comes out and says, I don't really hate Trump, but I hate Trump voters. I don't respect you. I don't like you. Your thoughts on that? Because, and look, I guess he probably doesn't care at this point in his career, but that is such a 180 from the guy of 30 years ago.
Oh, 100%. But you got to think of what Trump did to Stern's ego. Howard, if you remember, used to call himself the king of all media. And now he's just so whiny. He's like the Prince Harry of all media for all intents and purposes. And he lost that constituency. He became the thing he hated. I mean, his whole rise to fame was about railing against the elites, but more importantly, railing against censorship. So this idea that he now hates people because they support Trump for having a potty mouth, because for all intents and purposes, that's Trump's biggest offense. He hates seeing Trump become a better version of what he was. And remember this, Howard ran for governor. So Trump has like literally trumped, you know, his media omnipotence in every sense of the word. And it does. It burns his old droopy nuts. It does.
Droopy nuts. I like that. Jimmy, not Jimmy Fallon, but Jimmy in the back. We're going to need that on my drop board as well. Well, that gets us to the major station announcement. Greg Stocker, can we get a drum roll in here?
A drum roll. Hang on.
Yes. Let's do you have a drum roll over there?
Listen to this production value, Jimmy.
This is top-notch imaging, as they say in the industry. Right. Coming up on the debut, it'll be Monday, October 7th, at 7 p.m. And Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m., you will now hear the man joining us on this show, Jimmy Stinkin' Fallon.
What?
Stop it.
Jimmy Fallon joining the team here? What?
This is a huge deal.
Huge deal.
This is, you guys have no idea. Like, and I really mean this. It's such a surreal bookend to my first meeting with Stocker at Fox, where Tamara, our affiliate rep, is like, you got to meet this guy. And I looked at him and I thought it was Kurt Cobain's chubbier brother, Burt Cobain. And then she's like, no, he works in radio. WPHT. And I'm like, oh, I listen to WPHT if I'm driving a fare to like South Jersey or Philly in my cab. And this is the bookend to the day I met Burt Cobain and gave him whiskey at Fox News.
You did.
So surreal.
You did give me whiskey. Uh-huh. I can be bribed and bought with whiskey.
How do you think I got this job?
Yeah, that's the lesson here.
I mean, unreal. And what an incredible, honestly, I do mean this. What an incredible honor to join this lineup, because like the thing you guys do that matters to me is you guys know your listeners. You hang out with them, you meet them, you do events. Like that to me is amazing. That's why I got into radio. It's like you want to be a part of the community. So even though I do a national show, like I'm always on tour doing live events, I want to be part of the community, which is a fancy way of me saying I got to get out of New York a lot because I owe a lot of people money. But the point is, I'll be there.
In person. Wow.
In person.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Look, Jimmy, this is great. So now we have a lineup. We have Kale & Company into the Dawn Show, Dom Giordano, Rich Zeoli, right into Jimmy Fallon, weeknight starting at 7 p.m. Very happy for your brother.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for the American people. The folks who listen to PHT will now go to bed every night thinking they too could have a nationally syndicated talk show.
This is amazing because, Jimmy, you remember back in the day, you filling in for Zeoli right here on Morning Drive with me and Dawn. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Like, you've been a part of this PhD family for many, many years.
It matters. Well, I'm like the foster pet you decided to keep. And I appreciate that because Stocker, he'd let me guest host Zeoli as the foster dog, but then he'd also be like, here's my cousin, Michael Vick. You should play with him too. So I was like, right, which house am I going to end up in, Burt Cobain? I'm nervous. Can I stay with Courtney Love? I feel so
it's amazing. I love this.
Bert, can you just ship me to Springfield and we'll call you?
Yeah, I mean, this is the new generation of Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, and I'm really happy that you are part of our lineup. You should have been many moons ago, but getting it done now is a big accomplishment for me.
This is our time. There's a moment in talk radio right now, and this really matters. You know, people want to have fun. That's the bigger thing. Like, you know, we're supposed to take the issue seriously, and we all do, but we don't take ourselves seriously. And that makes talk what it's supposed to be, which is a great companion, you know, to the listener's life, you know, whether they're at work or they're on the way to work. I mean, if you're listening to my show, you're probably cooking in a meth lab. You're in a better mood because the vibe is right. And that's what I say at my show every day. I'm like, well, the world's on fire. We're just roasting marshmallows. But that's what we're doing at the end of the day, having the conversation in a fun way. Allows people to engage serious substance, but actually come away from it feeling good instead of wanting to clothesline somebody. Yeah. You know,
they're like group therapy.
Yes.
By the way, can I just say that Rich Zeoli into Jimmy Fallon? It is like, I mean, oh my lord!
There you go. Right?
Oh, it's huge.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m.? You're just going to just stream it or listen to it or watch it on YouTube.
What are you going to do? You're going to do whippets.
Exactly. So Jimmy, so you have people that have seen you on TV and perhaps have heard your show, but I'm sure there are some people out there that maybe have never consumed your radio show compared to what they see visually on television. I know you kind of talked about, you know, having fun and not wanting to walk out of there at the end of the show, clotheslining somebody. What can people expect for 3 hours a night? What's the vibe, the flow? Is it similar to TV or do you take a little bit of a different approach?
Well, I always say, okay, I say like Fox Across America, I call it an audio safe space for cool people. And what that means is you don't have to identify a particular way politically. You've just got to be cool when it comes to expressing your views and or maybe even countering some of mine. And it's essentially, you know, 3 hours of that. I'm going to give you takes but I don't want to be in charge of democracy. I'm not telling you how to vote. I mean, I went to community college and majored in Nintendo. So if I'm in charge of our democracy, we've already failed. So what it really is like this non-threatening port in the media storm where, yeah, I have takes. I'm, you know, unapologetically conservative. I work at Fox News. But the best way to describe it is I'm not Fox News. I'm like Samantha Fox News. Do you remember?
Yeah, of course. We all had those posters, Jimmy. We all had those posters, man.
So I'll just be singing I Want to Have Some Fun with a British accent most nights. And usually or towards the weekend, I'll sing Naughty Girls Need Love Too. Us naughty girls don't have it easy in this day.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up and you make that analogy and you bring that up because this is a story I want to talk about coming up in the next hour. But I want to get your take on this. So Melania Trump is now defending her nude modeling career as the left is attacking her.
My body is art.
It's more than art. It's just stunning visuals. But I'll put my tongue back in my head for a moment. Isn't it funny, Jimmy, how the left will come out and talk about body positivity and no, don't fat shame people. And I've got Lizzo on stage, basically naked, flopping around like a jellyfish out of water. But Melania Trump does it and it's disgusting. It's deplorable. And it speaks poorly about women. If you could just give me your take on that hypocrisy, I'd love to hear it.
Well, it's fun because for as much as we talk about the double standard when it comes to Trump, nothing illustrates how massive it is than their reaction to Melania. And the reason I say that is because if you think of Melania Trump's background, okay, she is a self-made millionaire supermodel who immigrated to this country and speaks five languages. Like if she was married to a Democrat, they'd be naming federal office buildings after her.
Yes.
Thank you.
Like straight up. I mean, she is everything that they claim to stand for, which is migrants making their way, being multicultural. And again, they were champions of nudity and the rise of women's empowerment and all of that stuff. Do you remember when the Democrats were doing that? Like it was called anti-slut shaming. It was like, I'm healthy lately and I sleep around. And all these other girls were like, and we sleep around. None of us were arguing. We were like, wonderful. This is great. You got us. But now they're going the other way. And it's because of her. And, you know, I'm not denigrating other first ladies because Jill Biden's bilingual. She speaks English and Joe. Melania would be an icon. If she was a liberal, she would be an icon. No she would question. Be the biggest deal in the world. Yes, think about that.
Speaking of icons, I can't help but notice maybe you've borrowed some of former President Trump's bronzer. You look very tan and bronze, Jimmy.
What's up with that?
Look at you, Jimmy.
This is just the light because I'm in my Fox put a home studio in my house.
Yeah.
And it's lit well. I'm not that bronze right now. No, I actually, if that's lighting, then I owe somebody $5 for this, Donnie. And if you look, I'm actually wearing a Fox Across America t-shirt.
I see that. Look at that. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Solid shirt. I like that.
This matters. Because when they start making like big merchandise lines for your show, you're like, wow, that's cool. But you realize you could never wear it out of the house without being the biggest a-hole who ever met. Well, walk around in a shirt with my name on it. Basically, I have merched out pajamas. You know, some people have embroidered pajamas. I have t-shirts with my name on it. This is as close as we come.
Well, Jimmy, we have a rule here. We have a rule here with Stalker where if we're going to wear any of our Kale and Company apparel, we have to confirm with each other the night before as we're laying our clothes out for work. Stalker will text me. He's like, hey, buddy, you're not wearing your hoodie tomorrow by chance, are you? I'm like, no, that's a Friday look.
Two gals just making sure we don't wear each other's dresses.
who wore it better? But I would just expect flannel out of Bert Cobain.
I love it. I love it. Actually, Jimmy, I thought the glow was just you sweating out all the alcohol from the night before.
I was going to say, are you lit right now?
If you knew, just so you know, because of me having my own Saturday night TV show.
Yeah.
So I am Monday through Saturday borderline Mormon. Okay, I don't drink. I don't eat anything Friday. I don't do anything fun Monday through Saturday.
You wear the underwear?
Yeah. The minute the show goes off the air Saturday night, it becomes a 24-hour Amish rum spring. I can drink it. Like, I'm going to get myself killed. I'm not joking on a Sunday because I have a 24-hour cry for help. Because as you know, okay, I was not born into like a TV, you know, look. Okay. I always joke that like Pete Hegseth looks like a TV star. I look like I installed your TV. You know, for me to make TV work, I got to be, you know, I got to hold it together for 5 days. And then Saturday night, I am a bad, bad boy. Oh. Like, oh my goodness. Last night we had Last week we had Johnny Damon on, and we hung out till 3:30 in the morning.
Former Yankee Johnny Damon.
I saw the pictures with Zioli with Johnny Damon wearing the World Series ring, the Yankees World Series ring. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But at Zioli's height, he could actually wear it as a necklace. He looked like a little kid, you know, just funny.
It would look like a spinner on Gutfeld.
Oh, forget about it. He is, people always, you know, give him a hard time about, you know, the height thing with Greg.
Yeah.
He is legitimately, I don't know, he's probably like 5'5". But it's like someone once told me this. I met an old comic who was like 90, right? And she was like, you know, you're old when your fake age is old. Because she was trying to date. And she's like, I was telling guys I'm 80, but I'm 90. And she's like, and then it dawned on me, I'm really old if even my fake age is old. Well, that's Gutfeld. Like, he walks around telling people he's 5'5". You know you're short if your fake height isn't tall. You know what I'm saying?
Jimmy, great stuff, dude.
Yeah,
you crack me up. Congratulations. Monday, October 7th, 7 to 10 p.m. So immediately after the Zioli show, Monday through Friday, keep it locked here on 1210 at 7 o'clock, and Jimmy will have you for the next 3 hours.
Pumped. This is a big deal. I'm going to try not to cry. Good stuff, you guys. Love you.
Right, love you, buddy.
Take
love
care.
You
back. There he is.
Goodbye.
The great Jimmy Failla. Not lit yet. Monday through Saturday, sober.
Nice.
It's like the opposite of me. Like, so Saturday night into Sunday, I sober up after drinking Monday through Saturday.
Yep.
We got all the 7 days covered here. There you go.
That was awesome.
Your lineup is now complete here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And by the way, Walter Sterling every damn night will be 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. So
do you want to go through the official lineup one time right now?
Kale and Company, 6 to 10. The Dawn Show, 10 to 12. Dom, 12 to 3. Zioli, 3 to 7. Jimmy Failla, 7 to 10. And then Walter Sterling, 10 to 1. Of course, Coast to Coast, our anchor. That has like a 30 share overnight, 1 to 5 a.m. So yeah, we're this is the new generation of Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, and I'm happy that everybody is enjoying it.
And you're still remaining employed. You're still here.
Well,
you're
not leaving. That's up. That's debatable.
Some people are disappointed by the news this morning.
I know that I am still here.
Nobody's Dawn. The ones that wanted to stalk her out.
Dawn
did not.
Yeah, she did.
Even though he was mean to me yesterday.
I was not mean to her.
Yeah, did you guys kiss and make up? Everything good?
I tried to, and she shooed me away yesterday.
During my show.
I tried to yesterday. But she shooed me away.
She throw a packet of papers at you and tell you to beat it?
No,
it was all day. I'm like, oh, did he call? Did he text?
She shooed me away yesterday. It was really, oof.
Yeah.
Stake for my heart.
We had a spat.
Greg to WHYY. Yes, that is not happening.
Yeah, not happening.
Stop.
But Burt Cobain will remain.
Oh, that's funny. That
Burt
is a great
Cobain
line.
Burt Cobain is funny.
It's a great line.
Best thing ever all day.
Get like flannel pajamas now for like the Jimmy Failla Philadelphia show.
Yeah, man. All right. Coming up next, we'll get to a Dawn Stensland Big Three. And then Kamala Harris picks up another fake accent. But we have the professional diagnosis as to why she does it.
That's
it's
amazing.
Kale and Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.